As I said, we have just one more week remaining in this series called Malachi, His Final Messenger. And today's message perhaps could be the one that's most challenging to us as we've gone along. This book of Malachi, it's, you know, one that's been written, you know, thousands of years ago. But yet, we have a tendency to maybe think, well, it's just for the people of that day. But I really have to think, if we're honest and if we look at this book, we can see a relationship between what Malachi is ministering to his people and what God would want us to hear today. The book of Malachi, like every book in the Bible, I believe, has an application, a practical application to the lives we live and the things we do even today. This morning's message is titled Robbers, Complainers, and Faithful. And the title seems, it should get our attention a little bit when we talk about people robbing God, people complaining about God, but then also a certain amount of people who remain faithful to Him. We've been looking at this series now this entire month, and we've learned that the name Malachi means my messenger. We don't know a lot about this person other than just he wrote this book, and he really was God's final messenger in the Old Testament, because there's a period of divine silence for 400 years. When Malachi began this book, when he began to write it down in chapter 1, verse 1, he understood what was before him. And the words that begin that book is the burden of the word of the Lord. Malachi had a difficult calling. Chuck Swindoll says the book of Malachi, it's about love, it's about rebuke, it's about hope. But as we've looked at it, the thing that we've seen is it's a lot about rebuke, a little about love, and a little about hope. So Malachi, he understood he had a difficult calling here. It was a burden that was being given to him, because as he begins this book, he wants the people to remember that God loved them. Remember, they asked the question, in what way have you loved us? They've forgotten about how God loved his people. Malachi then spoke to the priest. And he just wanted the priest to remember to honor God's holy name. Remember, the priest, they were accepting sacrifices that were not acceptable before the Lord. They weren't pure, they weren't holy, and the priests were allowing the people to come and give those sacrifices. And so this rebuke that Malachi begins, it starts with the priest, then it goes to the people, and he wants the people to keep the covenants that God had made with them. They're going their own way. They're doing their own thing. They're not following God's plan for their lives. And then last Sunday, we read that the people of God had the audacity to ask, where is the God of justice? The people believed that God was turning a blind eye to the sinners of the world, and that God was allowing them to profit, and His own people were not doing that. Malachi pointed out to them that the God of justice had not changed, that His plan was still the same. And today, I think we could say that, no pun intended this morning, but Malachi is going to turn up the heat a little bit. I guess you didn't get that. Anyway, no pun intended, no, he's going to turn up the heat on the rebuke of the people. Because Malachi is just going to call out the fact that some of them were robbers, that some of them were complainers. But then we see a glimmer of hope, because some of them are faithful. As we look at this message this morning, we might want to say to ourselves, even just briefly this morning, well, I'm not robbing God in any way. I'm not complaining about God and His work. I'm one of the faithful. But you know, as Malachi ministered to the people, I'm sure that there were a lot of them who felt that they were one of the faithful and failed to realize how they had removed themselves from the God that loved them, the God that remembered them, the God that cared for them. We want to begin today in verse 7. In verse 7 of Malachi chapter 3, we're going to take the verse and we're really going to divide it in two parts. We'll look at the first half of the verse to begin this morning, and then as we get to the end of the message, we'll come back to verse 7 and look at the last half of the verse. In the first half of the verse, we read this, "Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." In a nutshell, that's really Malachi's message to the people. These are people who have gone away from the ordinance of God. These are people who have not kept the ordinances that God had for them. And Nelson Study Bible says that the history of Israel is a long, sad story of recurring departure from God. Think about what we know from the stories of the Old Testament. I mean, just think about the book of Judges. It's not been that long ago that we looked at the book of Judges. And what was it but a recurring departure from God? Over and over again, the cycle of the people leaving God and then coming back to Him, it just repeated itself over and over again. And here we are in the book of Malachi, and it's just another example of how the people have departed from God time and time again. They failed to keep His covenants. Whether it was about sacrifice, whether it was about marriage, divorce, even the truth of God's Word, they're just simply departing from Him over and over again. Throughout the book, we've also seen them question God. In what way have you loved us? How have our words wearied you? We see a people who, that they can't, that they're so deep in their sin that they can't even recognize it themselves. And so Malachi will speak to those people again. He'll speak to the robbers. He'll speak to the complainers against God. God's words that He gave to Malachi was, "You've gone away." And Malachi begins now in verse 8 to speak to people that God called robbers. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." That's pretty intense. It's pretty straightforward. God called some of His people robbers. And they turned right away and they looked at God and they said, "In what way have we robbed you?" And so God gave Malachi the words to share. He said, you've robbed me of tithes. Now, everybody relax. I'm not going to talk too much about tithing this morning. But that's one of the things that the people here were robbing God of. God said, "You've robbed me with your offerings." So let's talk a little bit about the tithe. The tithe was something that had been established since the days of Moses. It was part of the law. So let's go back there. Let's look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, we're first going to look at verse 22. God made it clear that He expected. He didn't just want, He expected His people to give to Him. But you know, as I was reading this week, something that somebody pointed out was God asked for 10%. God allowed the people to keep 90. That seems like a pretty good deal when you think about it that way. But look at what God had Moses write. Deuteronomy 14, 22. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year." So every year the people were supposed to tithe. Now let's skip down to verse 28. "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce in that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do." So the people were called every year to give a tithe. Every third year they were called to give a tithe to help other people, to feed the Levites, to feed the poor among them. One of the things that we're going to see as we look at the book of Malachi is that the storehouse was empty. Not just because the people weren't giving their tithe, but because they weren't stepping up and they weren't giving to help care for and take care of the Levites. And so through the prophet Malachi, God says, you've robbed me of my tithe. He also says that they've robbed him of the offerings that he deserves. And the thing that we've talked about, one of the themes we've seen in the book of Malachi is that they keep bringing these unacceptable sacrifices before the Lord. What did God want from them? He wanted their best. He didn't want the leftovers. He didn't want that sick bull that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. He wanted their best. And as we look back at Malachi 1 verse 8, you don't have to turn there because we've talked about that verse over and over again. But that's the verse where God said, would your governor be satisfied with the sick and the lame and the blind? Why do you bring that to me? You wouldn't offer that up to your governor, so why do you offer it up to me? So God speaks to his people, and he says to them, you've robbed me. And in verse 9, he talks about the fact that they're living under a curse. And the reason they're living under a curse is because they're not giving to him those things that he's asked for. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy again, because we kind of started there and we saw in Deuteronomy 14 that they were called to give a tithe. Well, now look at what else God told them. You know, God keeps his word. He keeps his promises. He also keeps his promise of judgment if people don't follow through with what they're called and asked to do. And in Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 15. We kind of see a prediction of what's going to happen if the people don't tithe, if they don't offer up to God those things he deserves. Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So there it is. God's talking about delivering a curse. Verse 47, just flip over a page or two. And God says this, he says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Why would the people come under a curse? Because they looked at his covenants. They looked at his commands. And they said, we don't want to do that. We don't get any joy in doing that. And so as a result, God says, you're robbing me, and you wonder why you're living the way you are. It's because of what I said clear back in the beginning when the law was given to Moses. Offer up to me the things I ask for. Serve me in joy and gladness. And again, throughout the Old Testament, we see the people of God not doing that, and we see the people of Malachi's time not doing that either. But I want us to look at something else there in Malachi chapter 3, because God said to the people, you're robbing me, but he also offers them a way out of this. Which isn't that like God? God looks at his people and he sees their failures, he sees their sins, and he says, well, why don't you do this instead? Now we look to Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. God says, you're robbing me. The people said, in what way have we robbed you? God said, you're under a curse. The land's not producing. Things aren't going well for you because you've not followed my promise for you. And then God turns around and says, try me in this. He asked the people to return to the principles of the tithe. Bring your stuff and fill up my storehouse again like the plan has called for. Try me in this. And he says, if you try me in this, I'll rebuke the devourer. Now, we're not real clear about who or what the devourer was here. It might have been some sort of a pest. It might have been wild animals. It might have been Satan himself. But God's saying, if you would just return to me that's mine, if you would fill up the storehouse like you're supposed to do, I would rebuke the devourer. And he talks about how they would become the talk of the town. They would become a delight of the land because people would look at them and say, look at how their God is blessing them. It doesn't say what the people choose to do here, but I don't think we have to guess too hard. Because God said they were robbers, my guess is they didn't suddenly turn around and start to fill up the storehouse again. And you know, that's sad truth, the reality sometimes. And we see it here very clearly. God spoke to the people and said, this is what you need to do to get out of this hole. And sometimes people know the truth and choose to run away from it anyhow. And my guess is it's exactly what happened here. Malachi's not done with his rebuke. We really need to think about Malachi, the messenger of God. He's got a tough task here. He just called some of his own countrymen robbers. And now he's going to refer to them as complainers. Look at verse 13. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? But now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. God says to them, Your words have been harsh against me. And the people turn that right around and they say, well, what have we spoken against you? We saw it last week in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 17, God had said that the people's words wearied him. And they said, well, in what ways have we wearied you? I really believe that these people are so deep in their sin that they really can't recognize, they really can't see how they've turned against God. They've forgotten, or that they just choose not to understand how they're wearying him. And again, they ask question after question. And they raise harsh accusations against God. God said to them, your words have been harsh against me. They say, what have we spoken against you? Well, poor old Malachi, he has to tell them what they've said against God. Look at some of those words there in those verses. And imagine a follower of God saying these words today. In Malachi's time, the people of God said, it is useless to serve him. You know, there's times in God's word where it just surprises me that God didn't like rain down fire from heaven and just consume people immediately. But when these people said it's useless to serve him, I don't know how or why God left them live. They said, what profit is it for us to keep his ordinance? What profit is it that we walk around as mourners? Again, how could God spare these people? I mean, they're just saying these horrible things. And back to something that we read last week. They're looking at the people that they see as evil in the world, and they're saying that they profit. They're saying the proud are blessed. The wicked are raised up. Those that tempt God, they go free. These are abominable arguments that the people of God are making against him. And I don't know who's worse. I don't know if the robbers are worse or the complainers are worse. But these people, they've really got it all twisted up here that somehow God is blessing those who are evil. God is blessing those who are wicked. It's almost like the people of God are saying, well, we ought to be like them. If we were like them, God would bless us. Let's go back to the book of Job. In the book of Job, we'd like to look at chapter 21. But you remember the story of Job. I mean, his family, his possessions, all taken from him. His wife told him to curse God and die. I mean, this guy had it pretty bad. Then his friends came along. They tried to encourage him as best they could, but they didn't really do a very good job of that. In chapter 20, we won't look there, but in chapter 20, one of Job's friends, he got to talking about the wicked. And that particular friend of Job, he looked at the wicked and he felt like the wicked were prevailing in the days of Job. And that's exactly what we see here in the time of Malachi. It seems like the people of Malachi's day, they're looking at the wicked and they're saying they're prospering, they're having success, God's blessing them. And think about Job. Everything taken from him, you know, his health, I mean, and he wants no part of this. And look at what he says about the wicked. Job 21, verse 13. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. He's saying to his friends, you know, you're looking out there at the people who are rich and powerful and they got money, but they don't have God. And they go to their grave and that's it. Well, that's not it. It's an eternity without Christ. It's almost like Job saying, you want to be like them, really? Look at verse 14. Yet they say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Who's that sound like? That sounds like God's people in the age of Malachi, but it's really the wicked in the age of Job. But it sounds exactly like what we just read about the people there in Malachi's day. Verse 15, who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit do we have if we pray to Him? Boy, that sounds exactly like the people in Malachi's day. But it was the wicked in the age of Job. Verse 16, indeed, their prosperity is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. You know, the people were walking around thinking that they had made their wealth, they had made their money, they had done it themselves. And they didn't recognize that there was a God. There's a God who's, you know, in control of all things. And the people in Malachi's day didn't understand that either. Look at Job's final word there. He said, the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Job wasn't going to go to the wicked and try to figure out how they lived and follow them. Even in all of Job's dismay, he was going to put his faith and trust in God. And that's what God wanted for the wicked. That's what God wanted for the people in Malachi's day that were robbing Him, that were complaining about Him. He just wanted them to remember Him and to turn from their evil, to turn from their wickedness, and to repent. Robbers and complainers, I'm sure glad that God gave Malachi a little glimmer of hope. Because as we go back now to verse 16, we're going to see a group of people who remain faithful. And as we've looked at the book of Malachi these last number of weeks, we might wonder if anybody's faithful at all. Because the priests, they're bums. They're letting people bring in these unacceptable sacrifices. The people are bringing the unacceptable sacrifices in the first place. The people are not keeping God's covenants and commands. They're not even believing the truth of God's word anymore. We might wonder if there's anybody following God in this culture at all. But God's going to speak to them through Malachi too. And He's going to talk about the faithful. In verse 16, just to hear those verses again, I know I read them a little earlier, but now they have some context. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. This is the good news. This is the hope that we've been waiting for here in the book of Malachi. The good news, the hope is that some remain faithful to God and some would keep His promises. And look at what He says. Through the prophet Malachi, God says, there are some who still fear me. Not only did they fear Him, but they listened to Him. They heard His words. They meditated on those words. And God said, I'll remember them. They will be my remnant, those ones who remain faithful. He says they'll be mine. He also says, not only will He remember them, but they will be His jewels. Hold your place here and go back to the book of Exodus. You know, we've been looking at what God had to say to His people about, you know, well, hey, you need to tithe. The third year, you need to have an extra portion for the Levites. If you don't follow those promises, there's going to be a curse on your land. Well, I want you to hear the hope in here too. Because here in Malachi, God says, you know, there are those who are fearing me. There are those who are serving me. I'm going to remember them. They'll be mine. They will be a special treasure to me. Look at Exodus 19, verse 5. And think about where this is in history. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. There it is. It's the same story regardless of the time period of history. If you hear my voice, if you keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. God keeps His promises. He wants His people to do the same. And He says here about them that they would be a treasure, a special treasure to Him. Look at verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God said to Moses, tell my people to keep my covenants, to keep my commands, and you will be a special people set aside for me. And here in the book of Malachi, after hearing all the bad news, we hear that there's a remnant that remains and that they are faithful to God. And God continues and He says to them, then you shall again discern the righteous from the wicked. One of the things we've seen the last two Sundays as we looked at Malachi 2:17, as we looked at Malachi 3:15, we saw that the people were confused over who was righteous and who was wicked. The faithful knew, the ones who continued to serve God knew, but the robbers and the complainers, they didn't. And God's desire would be that the whole nation would return to Him and that they might all come to see who really was wicked and who really was righteous. And Nelson Study Bible says about this group of faithful people, serving God means putting Him first, obeying His commands, and finding one's chief joy in life as the advancement and the glory of His name. And that's what the faithful, I believe, were doing. The faithful were putting Him first. The faithful were obeying His commandments. And the faithful were trying to keep the Word of God out there so that others might come to hear it and know who God was. Robbers, complainers, the faithful. Let's go back to chapter 3, verse 7, as we kind of wrap this up here this morning. We looked at the first half of the verse. The first half of the verse said that from the days of their fathers that the people of Israel had not kept God's ordinances. Look at the second half of the verse. And the second half of the verse is really what we need to think about when we think about the robbers and the complainers, and yeah, even the faithful. God says this, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? What does God want for His people? He simply wants them to return to Him. He simply wants them to return to them. If they come back to Him, then we read it a little bit ago. You know, He'll clear up the land. He'll remove the devourer. He'll take care of them if they just simply return to me. return to God. But do you see their response in there? Well, in what way shall we return to them, to Him? They don't have any idea how to come back to Him. It really speaks to how far this nation, the people of God, had fallen. Aside from the faithful, there are people that have no idea what God really wants for them. And what did we read earlier? The history of Israel is a long, sad story of a recurring departure from God. These people are so far away from God, they don't even know how to return to Him. The word return, somebody wrote and said that the word return was used by the Hebrew prophets to mean repent, renew, and restore. And that's all God wanted for His people. He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to renew their covenant, their promises with Him, and then He would restore them back to the place where they might be that special treasure and that special prize. God looked at His people, and He saw a group of them who were robbers, robbing Him of what He deserved. He saw a group of people who were complainers, complaining about everything that was happening around them and raising questions before God. How do You love us? How do we weary You with our words? What did we say? What did we do? And then He saw the faithful. As I prayed and meditated on this word this week, I wondered, what would God see today? What does God see today as He looks at the people who are called by His name? As we serve Him and as we go through life and as we identify ourselves as Christians, as we identify ourselves as the people of God, what does He see from us? Well, certainly, we wouldn't rob God. I put my whatever amount in the offering plate each week. I can't possibly be robbing God. But you know, whenever we agree to become part of a church family, we take some vows, we make promises before God, we promise to give God our time, our gifts and our offerings, our talents and things like that. Is there some way that maybe we're robbing God and not giving Him the best? Because remember, God said robbing Him didn't just mean our tithe, it also meant our offerings, it could also mean ourselves. How does God look at His people today? Does He see any of us as complainers? Well, I don't complain about God. I complain about everything else, but I don't complain about God. But if we truly believe that God's in control of all things and we're complaining about everything else, aren't we really complaining about God? And you might say, well, you know, Virginia Lee's line was, I'm not complaining, I'm explaining. You might say you're just explaining. But you know, sometimes our explanations come awfully close to complaining. What would we want God to see when He looked at His people today? I think we'd really want Him to see a group of people who are being faithful to Him. A group of people who are being faithful to Him regardless of what comes our way. I want to look at one more verse, and I ask you to turn to the book of Revelation. Because in the book of Revelation, I don't think we're quite there yet, by the way. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. It sure looks like things aren't looking good for it getting better anytime soon. So maybe He is coming back soon. But in the book of Revelation, Christ spoke to John, and He talked about the churches. Those seven churches, and each of the messages to the churches was a little bit different. And I don't know what the heading in your Bible might say, but as we get to chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, Christ was speaking about a church that was persecuted. It was a church in Smyrna. And I want you to hear what this church was going to face. And I want you to hear what God asked him to do. Revelation 2, verse 9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you're rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Look at Christ's words. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, no words of accusation are given to the congregation in Smyrna. They may not have enjoyed the approval of men, but they certainly received the praise of God. And now I want you to think about the faithful in the day of Malachi. The faithful in the day of Malachi, they're living around robbers. They're living around complainers. And don't think for a minute that those robbers and complainers looked at the faithful and said, my, you guys are doing a good work. They didn't receive the praise of men. But God looked at them and he said, I remember them. I remember them because they serve me. I remember them because they hear my word. They meditate on the truth. And I want you to think about the church today. What does God want for the church today? Does he want us to be identified as robbers and complainers? Of course not. He just simply wants us and calls us to be faithful. Look at the trial and the tribulation that the church in Smyrna is going to face. And when we think about that and we think about what we're going through, it ought to be a whole lot easier for us to just be faithful. But we struggle. We struggle and we fail. What would God want us to do? Return to Him. Return to Him, repent, renew, be restored, and most of all, be faithful. I'd like to close this morning. I'd like you to grab your hymn books at page 456, and there's a little chorus in there. And the chorus is very simple. It is, find us faithful. And that would be my prayer this morning that, you know, as we look in the days of Malachi and we see that there were followers of God who weren't living up according to His promises and His covenants, that we might look to the faithful as our example and that we might be that faithful remnant that God will be looking for today. If you'd stand, please, we'll sing through, Find Us Faithful.